Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Isn't this a beauty? It's an old-fashioned biplane. 50 years ago, this was the latest model. Now, this plane isn't like most planes today. For one thing, you're flying out in the open air. You really feel the wind in your face. And you have to dress warmly, even in the summer, because it's cold up in the sky. So this is the cockpit. It's where the pilot sits to fly the plane. And you notice there's no steering wheel. So, how do you get the plane to fly where you want it to go? You use the control stick. And the control stick steers the plane left and right, down and up. When this airplane was built, you couldn't always find an airport. So planes needed these big rubber tires so they could land in fields like this.
Flying was risky when airplanes were first invented. Still, some people couldn't wait to try it. Their planes had wooden frames and wings made of cloth. Biplanes had two sets of wings to lift them off the ground. Sometimes planes were even designed with three sets of wings. The people who flew these planes were brave, and some were daredevils, adventurers who risked their lives for the thrill of flying. These pilots pushed themselves and their planes to the limit.
How high could they go? How fast? And how far could they fly without stopping? Well, this book is about one of those pilots, and her name was Ruth Law.
Ruth Law thrills a nation. Story and pictures by Don Brown. Read by Linda Lavin. On November 19, 1916, Ruth Law tried to fly from Chicago to New York City in one day. It had never been done before. It was a frosty, blustery morning. Ruth woke up before dawn, but she did not feel the cold. To get used to the cold weather, she had slept in a tent on the roof of a Chicago hotel. She put on two woolen suits, one on top of the other. Then she put on two leather suits and covered her bulky outfit with a skirt. In 1916, a polite lady always wore a skirt. It was still dark when Ruth went to Grant Park on the Lake Michigan shore where her plane was waiting. It was the tiny plane she flew in air shows, and it was old. Mechanics attached a special windshield to protect Ruth from the cold wind. They added a second gas tank so she wouldn't have to stop for fuel more than once, but this made the plane too heavy, so they took off the lights. Without lights, Ruth would have to reach New York City before nightfall. At 7:20 in the morning, Ruth climbed into the cockpit. She removed her skirt and stuffed it behind her seat. She opened the throttle. The plane leapt forward and bounced over bumps and hollows. It raced awkwardly across the ground, then lifted toward the sky. A fierce wind whipped through Chicago. It shook and tossed the small plane. A dozen onlookers watched in fear. A mechanic cried. She narrowly topped the buildings and slowly climbed into the sky above Chicago. Ruth Law was on her way to New York City. A mile above ground, Ruth sliced through the frigid winter air at 100 miles an hour. She set her course by consulting the crude scroll of maps she'd taped together and attached to her leg. Ruth flew for nearly 6 hours. She was 2 miles away from Hornell, New York, where a group of supporters was waiting. Then the engine quit. The fuel tank was empty. Ruth had only one chance to make a safe landing. The field seemed to come up at her. The crowd of spectators spilled into her path. The plane brushed their heads. Ruth was on the ground. She had flown 590 miles nonstop. It was a record. No one in America had ever flown farther. But Ruth's flight was not over. At 3:24 in the afternoon, her plane was refueled, and Ruth set out again for New York City. Newspapers told the story of Ruth's flight.
Read all about it.
A crowd in Binghamton, New York had turned out, hoping to see her fly overhead. They were not disappointed.
She's there.
At first, she was just a speck in the sky, but soon she made a striking cameo against the late afternoon sun. Suddenly, the plane slanted toward the ground and disappeared behind some trees.
She's down! Something's broken!
Nothing was broken. Ruth had decided to land. She would not be able to read her instruments in the dark. She tied the plane to a tree, wrapped her skirt around her, and accepted the hospitality of strangers.
Ruth Law, welcome to Binghamton.
The next morning, Ruth flew on to New York City. When she landed, an army general and a military band were there to greet her. Ruth was a heroine. You beat them all, the general said as he shook her hand. Newspapers heralded her feat. President Woodrow Wilson called her great. A huge banquet was given in her honor. Ruth Law set an American nonstop cross-country flying record, 590 miles, and she thrilled a nation.
Flying was an exhilarating adventure for pilots like Ruth Law. And though many people wanted to try it, very few had the courage. But Bessie Coleman did try it, and she became one of America's first stunt pilots.
June 15th, 1921. On that day, history was made. Bessie Coleman became the first African-American woman ever to get her pilot's license. In her flying uniform, Bessie was as glamorous as a movie star, and people treated her like one too. But even her fans didn't know her real story. Bessie Coleman's story began long ago in the little Texas town of Waxahachie. Bessie's family made their living picking cotton, but Bessie wanted to see the world. When she was old enough, she moved to the big city, Chicago. There, she heard amazing stories about the heroes who flew airplanes during the First World War. Bessie was inspired. She made up her mind then and there she had to fly. But the year was 1920. No African-American woman had ever become a pilot, and no one wanted to teach her. That didn't stop Bessie. If she couldn't get flying lessons in America, she'd just try somewhere else. So she saved her money and sailed across the ocean to France. There, Bessie got the lessons she wanted. When she returned, Bessie Coleman was a star, the first black woman ever to have a pilot's license. There's Bessie, wearing her designer uniform and a big smile. Just imagine the crowds that showed up to watch this incredible woman perform in her tiny plane. They nicknamed her Queen Bess, and Bessie always gave her audience a terrific show. Bessie, that wasn't enough. She dreamed of starting her own school where everyone could learn to fly. Wherever she went, Bessie Coleman brought excitement and joy. Bessie Coleman wouldn't let anyone or anything stop her from flying. She was one of the first women to blaze her way across the sky, but she certainly wasn't the last. The year is 1932, and Amelia Earhart is the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. 1933. Amelia crosses the U.S. in just 17 hours, a new speed record for women. A new invention, the jet plane, makes air travel even faster. It's 1953, and pilot Jackie Cochran startles the world. She's the first woman to break the sound barrier, flying more than 650 miles per hour. 30 years later, astronauts push the art of flying to new heights and speeds. Mission specialists like Sally Ride, Kathy Sullivan, and Mae Jemison circle the entire globe in just 90 minutes. They work far above the Earth and travel to places that Amelia Earhart and Jackie Cochran could only dream of.
These determined women flyers set the course for pilots who would follow. Pilots whose dreams of flight are coming true today.
My name is Lisa Neptune. I came to New York about 3 years ago from Trinidad, and I attend George Wingate High School. I live with my mother, my stepfather, and my two brothers.
Yes, well done.
I got the opportunity to learn to fly from the high school that I attend. Without them, I really don't think I would have gotten the chance to fly. I had the desire to do so many things, but this is the one thing that actually stuck with me. For a long time, I had the desire to fly.
She's really doing what she wanted to do. So I'm excited, but it's like a dream. When Lizanne was 5, she asked me, she said, "Mommy, who's flying the airplane?" And I told her, "A guy or a woman is in there, and they're called the pilot." She said, "I want to be a pilot when I grow up."
You know, to be a successful flyer, you need a lot of studying, and you need, like, a lot of perseverance. This is something that you absolutely have to want to do. Right now, my mother is the person who encouraged me to fly and everything and to be persistent at it.
It isn't important for me that Lizanne learned to fly. It's important to Lizanne. But as her mother, you know, I am there for her, so I support her. Because I'm really, really happy for her. And I'm going to do anything it takes to, you know, keep her at it.
You have your mixture. Well, you know, you put your earphones on and you do all that, you know?
Right.
You tell them all the stuff, you do your little tunes. Mm-hmm. You know, you're real cool here, you're laying back.
Sometimes I'll just sit there and think, you know? I'm like 17 years old and I can fly an aircraft. That's a real good feeling to me. That's just what my life's about.
Okay, we got about 7 in there. The majority of my friends are very supportive of the fact that I fly. But, you know, I have a couple who don't believe me. They don't think I do it. They're like, "Oh, tell me when you're flying so I could go down in my basement and pull over my helmet." I'm like, anyway.
The day my mother came to the airport, she'd never seen me fly before. It was really something. I mean, like, a real experience for the both of us.
Flight 7 Tango, clear for takeoff, right pad.
Number 141, report 4 miles south of the airport on the left bank.
This is unbelievable.
She's terrific.
I need to sit down.
The first time I actually flew the airplane by myself, I was a little nervous, you know? No instructor. I was totally alone. Although I flew that airplane lots of times, it's a different feeling because I'm by myself. All I had to do was get the feel of it, you know? So after a while, I was pretty cool about it. gives you the sense of control, you know? You're just really calm and everything's quiet. You feel really, really relaxed up there.
There she goes. Here she comes.
Seven Tango, clear to land.
Steady. Steady. Come on, take it easy. Bring it down. In it down. Down. Yes!
Poppy Doppy! Hi, big girl! Lizanne! You had me crying. Seeing you flying up there.
Mommy, I promised you would cry.
Come, honey! Wanting to be a pilot at the age of 5, and now that she's actually a pilot, it's like a dream.
I kind of see flying as out of the ordinary.
And that's what inspires me. I like to go out there and just do it.
Every single day, millions of people travel by airplane. And if you can't wait to take to the skies, you might get a lift from these books, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, here's a book that shows you airplanes in a beautiful and unusual way. It's called Plane Song. The whole book is a poem. The pictures are so cool. Look at this one. It makes me feel like I'm soaring over the clouds. My favorite picture is the one of the plane flying over New York City. There's the Statue of Liberty. There were some airplanes I was not familiar with, like the plane that fights fires, and the old-fashioned plane called a rag bag. I'm Marisol Rosa Shapiro, and I think you'll enjoy this truly lovely book. Plane Song is just the thing to put you in a good mood.
Hi, here's a book about a man who did something really great. His name is Charles Lindbergh, and the book is called Flight. At first, Charles Lindbergh was called the Lone Eagle. His dream was to fly an airplane from New York City to Paris, France, nonstop. I wonder how he felt saying goodbye to his friends. At one point in the trip, Lindbergh was caught in a thick fog. That looks scary. At last, Paris. His dream had come true. He wasn't the Lone Eagle anymore. He was the most famous man in the world. I'm Sei Wong. If you want to read about a great American hero, you should definitely try this book, Flight.
Hi, I'm Charisse. Do you like airplanes and adventure? Well, if you do, then this is the perfect book for you, Amelia's Fantastic Flight. Amelia loves airplanes. Off she goes for a little spin. She starts off in Brazil and travels around the world. She naps in Nepal and is charmed by China. Each page has a miniature map of where Amelia went. Look here, it's Egypt. I've never been to any of these places, but I'd sure like to go. Reading this book made me feel like I was sitting right next to Amelia. I think you should check it out.
Flying gives me an incredible sense of freedom. I just love the feeling of the wind in my face as I head for the clouds. And you know, I bet those first pilots felt the same way. There's just you and your airplane, and the whole sky is out there waiting. I'll see you next time. Clear prop! Today's Reading Rainbow books are Ruth Law Thrills a Nation, Stories and Pictures by Don Brown, published by Tickner and Fields, a Houghton Mifflin company. Plain Song by Diane Siebert, paintings by Vincent Nasta, published by HarperCollins. Flight by Robert Burley, illustrated by Mike Wimmer, published by Philomel Books, a division of the Putnam and Grosset Group. Amelia's Fantastic Flight by Rose Bursick, published by Henry Holt and Company.